one of the other pieces of advice that I would like to share, and I watched some people ignore this one, is hold on tight to your ethics.
Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy.
Today's episode is sponsored by SecuraTitle. SecuraTitle helps Massachusetts real estate attorneys, real estate agents, loan professionals, buyers, and sellers with all of their title, settlement, and escrow needs. SecuraTitle, SecuriTitle.com, where security and title come together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Elements of Styles. I am Mark Styles, your host. And on today's episode, we step outside the box a little bit. Today, I am actually interviewed. Myself and Jack O'Donohue, a colleague, a counterparty, and a friend from Touchstone Closing and Escrow Services. As we're interviewed by Massachusetts Real Estate Bar Association, Young Attorneys Section, also known as REBA. And they're asking us how we started our own practice and how to succeed in that practice. I hope you'll enjoy.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Robbie Hopkins. I'm one of the co-chairs of the REBA New Lawyers section. Today, we have a really exciting panel and panelists today as part of our continuing New Lawyer Toolkit programming. And this one is on the basics of professional and firm marketing. Joining us today, we have Jack O'Donohue, the managing partner of Touchstone Closing and Escrow LLC. And we have Mark Styles, founder and principal at Styles Law. Today, we're going to cover some topics about ins and outs and best practices about how to market yourself personally as an attorney and how to market yourself as a firm, whether you're large, medium, or small, kind of some best practices and how to get yourself out there. All right, without further ado, Jack and Mark, take it away.
Lauren.
Sounds great. So
Lauren wasn't introduced either, but that's Lauren O'Shea. She's with Touchstone Closing, and she was gracious enough to field and ask the questions for us. So thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. So yes, so we'll start with Mark. So Mark, what's your story? Why don't you give us your background?
Thank you, Lauren, and thank you, REBA, for this opportunity. I enjoy teaching by story, so I hope you all enjoy a colorful story, and we're going to date it back to 1996. So not sure where you all were in 1996. Maybe you weren't. I don't know. But not unlike right now, the economy in 1996 was extremely challenging. We were coming off of the savings and loan debacle of the late 80s, and we were just pulling out of it. And I came out of law school with the intention of not going to work for someone, even though I'm not sure anyone was willing to hire me in that economy. This may sound familiar to some of you. And if it does, keep listening. I went into criminal law in the beginning, and that was fun. That was really fun. It was enjoyable. There was a nice rush for having jury trials. And then I met a friend of a friend who was a residential loan professional. At the time, he was referred to as a mortgage broker, and he handled residential real estate transactions, both refinance and purchases. And he sat me down at lunch and he pulled out a computer and he showed me what you could make doing a residential real estate closing. And I was inspired, to say the least. So his agreement with me was refer me a client and I will let you do the closing. But there was a caveat. You need to have title insurance. You need to be an underwriter you need to be an agent for a title insurance underwriter. So I didn't even know what title insurance was. He started talking about a right of rescission. I didn't know what that was, but I looked confident, smiled, and said, I'm going to go back and figure this out. And then we kept going. That 1998, 2000, 2001, 2002, and built a really fun, amazing practice. As much as people said, don't put all your eggs in one basket, it was hard. I tried to balance criminal law and real estate at the same time. And many of you probably do not remember this, but I had to check my voicemails from a payphone in the Hingham District Court. And one of those voicemail messages was that loan officer, who was a very busy loan officer, by the way. And his message on my machine was, why is my closing attorney in court? And that's when I decided to phase out criminal law and to build a much bigger practice. And that's what we did. And we kept thriving. We were able to stay away from the subprime mortgage market and all of the originations that went with it. A book recommendation or movie recommendation, The Big Short, is the history of what happened with the subprime mortgage market. It's a must read if you want to get into this space. And then we identified what was going to happen and we pivoted into the short sale transaction and the distressed transactions through 2007 to about 2012, and then ramped back up with the purchase market. And here we are. And here's why I'm here. I want to help you all. Why do I want to help you all? Because I've had an amazing career. And I think because of that mortgage meltdown, the barrier to entry is ridiculously high for you, if not insurmountable without going to work for somebody. But I think there's a way to do it. And I'm hoping that you'll take a chance on it and enjoy the career that I did as well. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Mark. And Jack, same question to you. So tell us your story.
Yeah. So my story, it's interestingly enough, kind of also I started it in 1996. And that's when Jerry Maguire came out. So I saw Jerry Maguire, and I've always called myself a Jerry Maguire lawyer. I watched the movie and immediately sort of gravitated to it and said, that's what I want to do. I want to be like, I don't look like Tom Cruise, but I was going to try my best. I knew that I wanted to go to law school. I knew I wanted to study contracts and represent people and help them out through these sort of difficult stages in life. And I've always kind of been entrepreneurial. I remember even as a kid, my father's been an entrepreneur his whole career. And I think it's just in my bloodline a bit. So I really enjoyed that. I've always worked in hospitality as a kid, and as a young adult. So I still tremendously value that experience. And when I was thinking about this presentation and sort of my career trajectory, I've always valued that experience tremendously. I was very fortunate growing up in the area. I had a chance to go to a great, great private high school, went to a great college, also went to a good law school in the area, and kind of had the chance to work at the time through law school, had that opportunity, which was huge. Ultimately just kind of gravitated, sort of pulled me in the real estate and contracts and property and closings. And I remember I had an internship. I had some experience early on, and that was incredibly helpful. So that's kind of what I would say to like the newer lawyers or people who might be probably folks listening are not in law school, but the newer lawyers, it's important to get that experience. And Mark and I were discussing as we were preparing for this, it's in a lot of ways, it's worth so much more than any amount of money you could possibly be paid at that time of your life. You know, that is the critical time to get the experience and to learn the ropes. And so in any event, completed school, started off actually as a solo, and did pretty well with that through some marketing and AdWords tactics and things like that, which we can get into later, but did pretty well with it, enjoyed it, and ended up joining up with a bigger firm for a few years, which went really well. And I enjoyed my time there as well. And then back in at the end of 2015, but really it started with TRID. When TRID came around, it was sort of like an eye opener to me, and I'll never forget it. If people aren't familiar with TRID, it's the regulations on consumer lending and closing. And I remember vividly being removed from a list. And Mark will know what this feels like. It's the worst. So I got removed from a list. I had a closing. I did the purchase and sale. I was ready to do the closing. And they're like, oh no, you can't do it anymore because of TRID. And I was like, whoa. And that was my kind of realization that we're better together. We're better as a group. That's kind of how I saw the industry going. And, to my own credit, I guess that's sure enough what was happened. We've got, we've got these lenders, they have such tremendous liability that they need to, they need to work with the shops that work with them the most. So that's what's happened. That's kind of what I think Mark was saying as well about the opportunities to get your get your chance with a title insurance company and just get started is really difficult, if not impossible. I believe he used the word insurmountable. I would agree with that. So we co-founded Touchstone back in 2016. There were four of us, and now we have over 40, and we're continuing to grow, continuing to focus on our marketing, but most importantly on our work product. And, really just really focusing on myself. I'm really focusing on acquiring and developing the best talent in New England. And that's really what I'm here for. And again, it's a really short space. I'm happy to share my experiences with, at length with anybody, really anybody that's watching this or maybe interested in hearing from me. Cause I think it served me tremendously well. I think it served our team tremendously well. And we've really done, I'm proud of our team, proud of our company, proud of the industry for the most part. And it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah. it's a pleasure to be here. And most importantly, I thank people, anybody who's listening to this, for taking the time to either watch or listen. I know we are, Lawrence here, we were going to pose the questions. We're going to be sharing this on our podcast that we have, and I'm sure Mark may be sharing it as well on some of his channels. So we'll definitely get some use out of it besides this event. So thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. So Jack, we'll stay with you for this next question. So how did you meet and develop relationships with your first handful of referral partners?
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting thinking about that question. There's really kind of a two-pronged approach that I took. It was really digital and also relationship building. And that was kind of, that's still to this day, that's what I try to do. And that was at a time, back in like 2008, 2009. And I had a lot of success early on with just even like Google AdWords. The thing I've really been thinking about for this discussion is that some of these lawyers who are listening or may listen in the future they might want to be like Mark and I. They might not want to do real estate closings. They might want to do something else. So I think in that area, it's critical to, just learn everything you can about the industry, and you can start advertising. It's very affordable. It's not like, billboards and the yellow pages and radio and TV and all that stuff, the traditional media. If you know what you want to do, if you can focus, you can really get a lot of customers in the digital space. But most importantly is the relationships. I think that I've always said to people that, I really kind of only want to work with the referral partners and people who I'm willing to do anything at any time for. If they call me at 10 o'clock at night and I'm with my wife and, I'm ready for bed, I still answer the phone and want to talk to them. So that's critical for me. Actually, I have to genuinely like the person and want to help them succeed and help them be successful. Because I think without that, if you number one are not willing to do those types of things, then it's never going to work out for you. And number two, you have to want to support the person that you're working with. You are truly a partner in their success. So how I met them, I didn't really quite answer those questions, but it was really just asking. The best tip I could give is I had sort of gotten going, I guess you could say. I've got a few, I really decided I wanted to focus on closings and got some closings coming in, similar to Mark's initial story there. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. But then I asked all those people, I was like, who else should I meet? And they all knew more people. And so from that position, that's where I went like straight up, because it was, those people already kind of worked with me. They knew I was a good guy. They knew I was a good, decent enough lawyer. And so that was the pivoting point for me, was getting those recommendations. Because some people, that one person, right, they might recommend 10 or 15 other people. So, and those recommendations are hugely valuable. So that's my quick advice about, getting started is the toughest part, really, though. This first couple of deals is the toughest part. And Mark and I joked about it. It's the stuff we remember the most. I could talk about it for a long time, so I won't. I can't wait to hear Mark's answer.
Yes, we'll turn it to you, Mark, sort of how you got started and how you developed some of those first relationships with some of your referral partners.
Yeah, so I mentioned this loan professional. He was a mortgage broker. We are now in 2021, so it is 23 years and we are still partners with one another. Jack, you make a really valid point that folks, they need to treat you as partners too, right? You're going to be treating them and you want them to succeed and you want to do everything possible to make them look good. But at the same token, they have to treat you well too. And that's one thing that you will learn in this industry very fast, that yes, you went to law school and it was hard and you passed the bar. Congratulations. but you may be deemed at the bottom of the food chain in a lot of real estate transactions, depending on who you're working with. So be cognizant of who you work with. Be proud of who you work with. So what did I do? So as I mentioned, I was kind of straddling. I was straddling criminal law, and I had one large producer. So I had one paralegal who could handle that producer. I learned everything I possibly could. One of the things, I don't know if we're going to get to the technical side of things, is, but you need to align yourself with a title insurance underwriter who is your sage, wise professor. I had a woman by the name of Jane Greenhood. She was at a company called Stewart Title back in the day, and I could call her about anything. And she taught me more about title than anyone else on the planet. And what I would say is, as you start to grow, you must grow maturely, because we saw a lot of folks come out of the gate. I had friends, right? Parallels, who went in, had great relationships with loan officers, and took on way too much business way too fast and could not handle it. And then it makes them look bad. So mature growth, but don't be afraid growth. Once you get your feet under you and you know the documents, once you know the purchase and sale agreement, you understand title, you tell everybody that you know what you're doing. Everybody, right? Spread it out upon all of your networks. You know, don't be afraid of LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a tremendous resource, but use your social channels, right? Those people will want to support you. They may not be a real estate professional. They may not be a lender, but they may be friends with one, and they'll happily introduce you to them. And Jack spoke about one of the strategies that I used early on, which was, you have a relationship with somebody. You're doing a good job, because that's the key. How's your quality control? Are you going to be able to make certain that their support team isn't upset? Right? If you're not doing a good job, they're going to hear it from their support team. They don't want to hear it from their support team, no matter how much they like you. And they're going to move on if your quality control is not there. But if you're doing a good job and your loan professional really wants to support you, and yet they are abundant minded as opposed to scarce minded, because what you will find is some loan professionals, some real estate professionals won't want to share you because they want you all for themselves. But if they're abundant minded and they really want you to grow, like this loan officer gave me the opportunity, then they're going to introduce you to other people in their company. And when they introduce you to other people in their company, you start to mushroom out. And then what ultimately will happen is those people will leave that company and go to another company. And now you're introduced in a new company. But some of the successes that I had were putting myself out there, you know, really being vulnerable and going into an office and saying, I can present on a topic. What topic would you like me to present on? What are your agents struggling with? What are your agents coming back to you with? And this is the real estate professional. These are the agents you're typically doing. Because if you were looking at the food chain that I referred to back in 1998 to 2005, it was real estate agent, loan professional, attorney, in that order. So one of the themes that I want to also share with you, that this is a business. We weren't taught a lot about business in law school. And you have to unlearn a lot of what you learned in law school to be really successful in this, because it's a collaborative space. It's not adversarial. When you get a purchase and sale agreement, you are immediately in a bad place when you start to litigate everything in that purchase and sale agreement. It's a small community, and you work collaboratively with other attorneys, and the real estate agents and professionals do not want any obstacles in the way of their buyer or their seller coming to the consummation of a closing, another TRID word, coming to the consummation of the closing. So yes, you want to do right by your client. Yes, you want to be zealous, but don't forget, what is your client's ultimate mission? If they came to you to buy a house, it's to buy a house. Don't throw up unnecessary obstacles. And that's part of how you get out there. you know, and you just be bold, you be vulnerable, you be confident, and you get out in front of people. Because if you are out speaking in front of people and speaking on your live Instagram channel is getting out in front of people now, by the way. But if you're out there, you're immediately the authority on the topic and you know enough to do this. So get out there and do it. Thanks, Lauren.
Good advice. So you both sort of touched on it a little bit, but Mark, we'll go back to you and maybe you can talk a little bit about how you continue to kind of foster those relationships once you have established referral partners.
It's a great question because again, you know, Jack, you'll agree that you fall into a trap of trying to get new business all the time. And that's not always the greatest strategy because your golden goose, if you will, is right there already happy with you. And how do you build from that? Because let's be real, folks, a lot of the first few relationships you get, they're going to be testing you. They're not going to be giving you all of their business. And they don't want to hear you say, can I have more of your business? Why don't you give me all of your business? You have to earn business. No one's going to just hand it to you. So building your brand, you know, continued growth, putting yourself out there, you know, joining boards. What are you passionate about? You know, where are you going to volunteer? How are you going to get yourself out there into the community? But you want to think outside the box, right? So you'll see a lot of real estate boards or chambers of commerce having events, and it turns out there's just a lot of you there, right? So you want to be in a place that there's not a lot of you there, right? So go outside the box and join boards in your local towns and their educationals. Maybe take a real leap and run for planning board and be on your town planning board and start within and mushroom out, because that's the B2C. So you've got two basic ways of capturing business, B2B, which is what we're talking about. You want a relationship with a loan professional or a real estate professional, and they feed you their end client. So your client is fed through this referral partner, we like to refer to them as. So you have a referral partner and then you have the end consumer. It doesn't hurt to have the end consumer asking for you, right? So if somebody asks for you, and that loan professional doesn't know who you are, well, you just found yourself with another relationship and you want to build from those relationships. And it's very important that you keep a very, very good database. I wish somebody had told me that back in 1998, because I've got them on Excel spreadsheet. I've got them in this one. I've got it in Outlook. I've got it over here and over there. And the database are gold. They are gold. The ability to stay in touch with people and have those people thinking about you when it comes time to doing what they need to do, refinance, sell, buy, is gold. So I would highly encourage you to do that. What I didn't have that you all have is tech. You know, use it. People are used to it. People love it. Get used to Zoom. You know, we're doing a lot of closings, not directly through Zoom because we don't have the proper authority through the notary, but we're having attorneys review documents just like this. You can be anywhere. You are the first generation of attorneys that can truly say, I can work from anywhere I want to. There's no reason that you need to be in an office punching a clock. There's not. So think about that as you start to venture into your world, whether it's real estate or not. Now, real estate is very local. Jack will agree to this. It's very local. I struggled for years when I had really good relationships with human beings that I was friends with from earlier lives that I couldn't break into their business because there was territorial barriers or perceived territorial barriers. And I remember in 2002 saying, well, what do you mean? There's email, there's phones. We don't need to be right in front of each other until the actual closing. And now it's even more so, right? Because we don't even have to be in front of each other at the closing, right? We can have documents delivered with notaries and have the documents explained by the attorney who's anywhere. Where am I? I don't know where I am. I'm not sure. But it's a really fun business to be in. to build it. It's very social. Be careful not to be the party gal or party boy, because those come and go. We've seen them. Jack and I have both seen many of those shops come and go. They have the biggest and craziest parties, but there's no substance to them. There's no quality control. And also, don't chase the bottom. You're going to want to immediately get a deal. Don't give it away. You worked hard. 3 years of law school is hard. Taking the bar and passing it is hard. You've earned it. You know, charge for it and be confident in what you're charging and go get it.
We actually just got a question come in as a follow-up, Mark, to that about the database. What kind of information do you find useful to track in the database?
Well, the saying goes with the database professionals. One of the things we do at our firm is we continually learn. So we're going and taking seminars like this all the time, but junk in, junk out, right? If you don't put anything into the database, you can't expect to get anything out of it. So if you're diligent, and again, y'all are starting out, be diligent, pick the right one, own it, store it, and tag it. Put everything you can. Put birthdays in. Why not? What if you want to send out a birthday notification? Closing date, put that in there. You want to send them an anniversary. Hey, happy 4th anniversary of your closing. Wow, I forgot about Jack. But, you know, we're going to refinance right now, and I'm going to make sure the lender gives it to him. And obviously, name, cell phone, email, because you can't utilize your database if it's not there. So if you decide, hey, I want to create a YouTube channel and I want to do frequently asked questions and I want to send it out to my database, well, where's your database? If you haven't done it, then you can't use it. You never know when you're going to want to use it, but start early with the database.
Great. Thank you.
I'll field that quickly just to say, I'm like Mark, I track everything in the database. I'm like really hemming and hawing whether I should give away all my secrets, but I track everything. Right now I'm looking at Mark's background. I'm willing to bet he's a skier. So I would tag him with skier, golfer, basketball. What are they, you know, what do they like? What do they like to do? Where do they live? What's their spouse's name? What's their kid's name? What's their, all, any data point you can reasonably gather from somebody in addition to notes about them and who they are, I do that.
What do you use?
We use HubSpot.
Got it.
They're out of Cambridge. They're free initially. Anybody that's listening right now can, no, seriously, now it's expensive. Lauren knows that. But now, you know, they're a great company out of Cambridge. They're the new Salesforce. Everybody knows Salesforce. Yep. That's probably huge. Like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, they were the behemoth, and HubSpot's going to kill them. So just way better technology, and they're local. So let's try to support them. And they, like I said, also free. You can sign up for free. I feel like a spokesperson for them. You know, I'll hit on it quickly. I thought Mark gave some really great answers about continuing to foster the relationships. I don't want to spend too much more time on that. You know, I think ultimately for me and for us, it's about caring only about the client experience. What, you know, kind of Mark categorized and we do as well, as like kind of the end user experience. What is that person's experience? Is it exceptional all the way through? And I think about every touch point that we have with them the same way that Disney World thinks about it. You know, every single exposure and touch point, what's it like? How do they feel? Blah, blah, blah. I think about every single step of that constantly, constantly trying to improve it. So, and make it a better experience for them. And also the other most important thing, and Mark's hit on this, saying quality control. I like that word. I've never used it before, but I'm going to start using it. We've always said quality of work, but it's the same idea. Quality control, quality of work. And the idea is, right, we're not selling a product. We're not selling a shirt or a watch or a pair of pants. We've got our service. That's it. So it better be awesome. And you know what I've said to everybody here, kind of, again, I've mentioned my hospitality background, but, you know, service is really just and this is a thing from Danny Meyer, if you're familiar with Danny Meyer, service is really just the technical delivery of something, and hospitality is the way that it makes somebody feel. So I think that is, if you can think about that all the time, it'll serve you very well in what we do. And I try to always, whenever I get angry, because I do get angry, I try to just take a minute, think about it and relax, and then communicate. So that's something I've learned over the years. We could go to the next question. Thank you, Lauren.
Good advice. So Jack, we're going to sort of pivot a little bit. And we'd love for you to talk about how important, Mark sort of touched on it briefly, but how important is social media for real estate attorneys and getting their business off the ground?
I mean, I think it's incredibly important. I mentioned to you, Lauren, and to others, like I've got the notes and framework even for a book on the subject. I honestly don't know if it's worth the time, if there's enough of you lawyers that would actually buy it, but I've got about a 50 page outline on it. Because I do. Okay. So Mark could buy it. Maybe he'd sell it to his friend. So got one sale. I'm
Me
excited.
Too.
But in any event, I think it's so important, and Mark led this whole conversation off with something that was really interesting. It's this, you know, storytelling. That's how we're structuring this whole thing. We're telling our story. And I think storytelling is the best form of salesmanship for what we do in particular, and be able to, like, even if you're not that interesting, you know people are interesting, or you know an experience that's interesting. You don't have to be that interesting of a person. So I do believe it's incredibly important. And you know, the biggest thing, the book thing, is like, there's no roadmap for you who are watching. I mean, this presentation is probably the closest thing you get to a roadmap and us sharing our honest, you know, secrets and whatever else we've done. You know, the social tools that are available, it's incredibly overwhelming, and it can be an incredible time suck. So it's not about getting involved in that. It's about being focused on it and being focused on what you're doing and using the tools that are available to expedite your growth and get opportunities that you otherwise wouldn't get, and just communicate with people. It's really that simple. You know, and again, I hit on it previously talking with Lauren about this, like, that you have to go, this is the stuff that's this presentation, you know, anything else that you're doing, this is the stuff that's above and beyond a day's work, right? This is above and beyond knowing the law. This is above and beyond knowing title, and above and beyond doing a great closing. This is the stuff you got to, like, eat, sleep, and breathe, or you will not be successful, like, period. I just think it's so important. And again, with social media, I have a great new expression. Like, if it doesn't make the phone ring, it's just a hobby. Like, it's not going to help you get more business. You need to make sure that you're really tactical about it. And I've already spent most of my life, most of my career focusing on this. I think that's why I was asked to be a panelist, but, I've gone to conferences, I've, you know, read books and done podcasts and done, you know, I watch video, I listen to audiobooks, I do everything I can, but it's all about marketing. And I sort of listen to it and I apply it to our industry. And then I further apply it to being in our industry in Massachusetts, which is very important to think about, because outside of Massachusetts, what we do and what Mark does, we're a title company. Like, so if you look at title, and I was saying this to Mark when we were preparing, it's like, when I look at, I don't really care what he's doing. I don't really care what anybody in this area is doing. I look at what these title companies are doing in other parts of the country, because that's essentially what I'm trying to go for, what we're trying to go for. Because we're in the same, you know, they're structured differently because of a lot of reasons, separate podcast, presentation. But that's what I look to. I think if you feel isolated in Massachusetts, then look elsewhere. And I look at other industries. We were just previously talking about websites, you know, who's can do a good website. Like, whose website do you like? Like, look at their website. Tell me what you think. What do you like about it? So I just think, and the other biggest thing about social is that it's really just practicing. You know, it's all about practice. It's all about failure. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear that word or say that word. I know I don't, but it's true. It's like, just give it a shot, try it out. And I've always said too, that the things that I've done a lot of video, the videos that I've done that have been really successful, and some of them are not successful, I've given up on trying to gauge whether I'm going to be right or wrong. But the point is to just, like, give it a try it. And it may be really successful, but it doesn't help you do more closings. So I've done a bunch of holiday videos. People can watch those on our Touchstone site. That's, you know, as we were launching, I was doing a lot of those. And kind of the idea was, like, to hit these referral partners and consumers on a pretty much monthly basis, because the holidays tend to fall on a monthly calendar. So I did a bunch of those. Those were very well received. And then I sort of transitioned and I did Donut Digest. And Donut Digest is, like, I've gotten stopped on the street about Donut Digest. Like, it makes, it's crazy. Like, it's, but now instead of the real estate closing guy, I'm the donut guy. So, like, you know, it's a rabbit hole, right?
Hold on. What? Tell me about that. I'm not familiar with that, Jack.
Well, you're going to have to watch it. So I've been to
a couple hours.
Yeah. If you got a couple hours and anybody watching, it's worth watching. I've been to about 70 donut places in New England, and it's just a fun thing. And I feature people on it. And it's just, I was between the start of it is what's important for these people or the audience. At the time I was like, I want to do a video series. The holiday thing was great. I was between donuts and ice cream. I ended up picking donuts because it's not as seasonal. And so I didn't really love donuts, but like that was the position. I was like, I'm the authority on it. I'm the guy, I'm the expert. So, and you guys are recommending places and this and that. So I've been to everywhere. But now, you know, learning from that experience is like, you know, at least people know who I am, or those people, they know that I'm doing that. They know that it's different. They might not know my name. They might not know Touchstone's name, but they know that there's some donut guy that does closings. So, you know, it's kind of a bad example and kind of a good example. I really go back and forth about it a lot, but the point is just take risks. Don't be afraid to fail. Keep trying. If you think something's going to work, then just stick to it and go for it.
Thank you. And Mark, how about you? Maybe you can share a little bit about your social media strategy and how you use that every day in your business.
Well, step one is I'm definitely buying Jack's book because he's got it figured out, because a lot of our social strategy has been throw it up against the wall and see what happens. We're starting to dial it in now. But as you can imagine, we kind of evolved with social media. So when was Facebook? 2007. I probably entered at 2009. And my mindset around Facebook, when everybody was like, oh, I'm not doing social media, we're not doing that, that's a waste of time. My position was, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post a video with my family every Sunday, so that when those real estate agents are sitting around at their open houses and they're scrolling through, they're going to see the personal side of me. So Facebook for me in the beginning was allowing these folks in, because again, back then it was a different time, right? You had to be at the closing. Everybody was there at the same time. You had to go into the office every day. The same process was available. I wore a tie. I haven't worn a tie in a very long time. And there was certain expectations. So I wanted to show them the human side of me. So as we've evolved with social media, we've got multiple channels, multiple personalities. We have the Real Estate School at 892, which is a private group for real estate agents. It's a private community in Facebook that I'm also a certified CE teacher. So I teach CE through that. And we've explored Instagram and YouTube. We have a YouTube channel with many FAQs on there. It's created a little bit of a resource for our attorneys and staff inside the office now too. But I see social more as a branding. I never take the position that what I'm doing is going to create a deal. What I'm doing is hopefully creating front of mind. Maybe I'm creating a little bit of a brand, if you will, and hopefully a consistency that people can count on and expect. So we send out a new video every Saturday morning to one database list, and then it goes out on social media after that. And people can count on that consistency of it. But unless you're focused on, you know, Facebook ads and funnels and know what people like Jack are doing with the branding, you should think about it as front of mind. I'm branding, I'm keeping people aware that I'm here, even though maybe I'm not here. Maybe I'm somewhere else with a background in the mountains, but I'm here and I'm available to help. And maybe the timing works out that they're scrolling through. Maybe that worked back in 2010 when they were sitting at the open house scrolling through and said, huh, I've got to negotiate this offer. Might as well have Mark's team do it because they saw me on Facebook. I don't know, but you also have to have fun with it, and you have to not truly expect much from it, but be vulnerable, right? Take risks, Jack was saying. And put yourself out there because you're human and people want their attorneys to be human, right? Because, you know, I know in law school, some of the professors will have an elitist type of mindset, right? We're lawyers. We know all the rules. Maybe we're better than other people. Well, we're not. We're not. And if you take anything away from this presentation today, hopefully that might be it. Because when young attorneys think they're better than people, they get cast aside quickly in the real estate world.
Great. So, Mark, why don't we talk a little bit about what do you think the future holds for real estate lawyers in Massachusetts?
Should I get my shades? Because the future is bright. Yep. I got to wear shades. That was for you, Sam. I know you're watching. I think it's very bright. It's ever evolving, but here's what I'll say. You know, are the big title companies going to come in and take us out? That's the one thing that you will hear over and over again. I've been hearing it since 1998. I'll never forget being at a family holiday event, and a sister-in-law was asking me, you know, what are you doing? What type of law are you doing? And I'm explaining real estate conveyancing. It's really exciting and this, that, and the other thing. And aren't you afraid of the title companies just taking you out? You know, this is like a long time ago and it hasn't happened. Now, is it going to happen? I don't think so. Massachusetts, as Jack kind of alluded to, is an anomaly in our union here at the United States of America. It is probably the most challenging place, regulatory compliance, to do business as a real estate lawyer. Most states, it's title, escrow, settlement. It's not law. There's no requirement for attorneys to be involved in the closing. So you're going to hear that a lot. So be prepared for the person coming from Florida or coming from California. Why are there lawyers involved in this transaction, right? Be prepared for that. But with that, you're going to learn how to do it better than anywhere else. Some of the states that are run strictly by title companies, and when I say title, I'm not referring to the title insurance company. That's what everyone was putting the fear out there. The title insurance companies, they're just going to go direct to the client. They're just going to go direct to consumer and you won't be necessary. Well, they haven't, and they've always said they wouldn't. And it makes sense why they can't, because of the relationships. Jack talked about this earlier. Relationships are the gold in this business. And it's a relationship business. No matter how much tech gets involved, no matter how much tech we use to be efficient, at the end of the day, it's about the relationships between human beings, right? Can I trust you? Will you help me look good? Will you take care of my clients? Right? If you're a number out of Detroit, Michigan call center, you know, it's a little bit different than if they know they can get Jack on the phone at night to answer a question because they just had a walkthrough and the people didn't move all their stuff out. Right? But they're not calling.
Does that happen a lot, Mark?
That is for the deeper dive. We're going to talk about the deeper dive a little bit later. Jack's got a book. I've got a workshop for you folks that I want to share. We're going to take this a little bit deeper if you want to, but I'm an optimist. Some may say I'm a Pollyanna, but I think this is a great state. I think it's a great state to do business in. I'm glad it's the state I learned as we start to expand out and enter other states, we realize how easy it is because of what we've learned, right? It's like going to a really challenging high school and seeing that college is really easy. You know, it's the same idea. We worked really hard to figure out how to do it here in Massachusetts. And, you know, that's what you'll expect. And it's not for everyone. I think, Jack, you'll agree that this is not a business for everyone, but it sure is a good one. I'll hand it to you.
Totally agree.
You want to chime in on that as well, in terms of?
Yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly bullish on the future of the industry in the state and nationally, and you know, a big picture. I mean, we've got a whole generation of folks that are coming through, and who've just had a 2-year reminder, or a year and a half reminder of how important their home is. So you know, in the residential space, where it's going to be booming. You know, my wife asked me this weekend, we were out for a walk, and you know, when do you see it slowing down? I said, never, because I don't think it will. I think we've got this, there's so much of a need for what we do. And I really, I don't say that lightly because I'm kind of a pessimist at the end of the day. I think I try to see the potential downside, but I think in this industry right now, I do not see that happening. Just listen, prices are appreciating really quickly. Rates are low. I know rates could go up. They will go up. Prices may come down. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to come down, but they may hold steady. You know, I'm an economics guy. I think about the economics. I read, I'm very involved in the American Land Title Association, which I'm sure Mark is as well. And I read their updates every day. I read every article they share. You know, I try to piece that together with what I see throughout the day and then in the transactions that we do. So I was just very bullish on the future of this industry. And I think, you know, the state of the market has a big thing to do with that. I love what Mark said about being, you know, because we start here, that's so true. It's like, you know, there's other states that are like Massachusetts, but nothing exactly like Massachusetts. So the fact that we've honed our roots here, it does lend itself well to expand outward because we've got the infrastructure and the, you know, the people and the education and the knowledge and experience to do that. So I'm very excited, but I think it's a great opportunity for new lawyers right now. I don't think it's something that they should be scared is going to just have the rug pulled out from under them, because it's not like a boom, it's growth. It's steady growth. That's how I would describe it to people. You know, I've also been called the Pollyanna, and also, you know, I do think that, listen, there's a lot of positive news. It's going to multiply. And for the really good shops, for the really good firms, the good attorneys, the good paralegals, the people who work hard, the people who care, we're going to be really busy for a long time. And the other ones will not be as busy.
And if I could just add to that, Jack, you know, even if the bottom were to fall out, right? Because it did, I watched it. You could pivot. It's about transactions and helping people. Yeah. We did thousands and thousands of short sales back from the 2000, late 2007, all the way until we just said uncle, no mas, in 2012, and helped a lot of people because of our skill set of understanding real estate transactions and understanding relationships and people and how banks work and the situations that the banks were in. And it's transactions, and you can still be in it. So, you know, when I think back upon those days when someone said, don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know, they're not me. That person's not me. They're giving advice about what's in their head, and you know, be very cognizant of those voices in your head. You know, when you hear yourself talking yourself out of something, you know, that's the imposter syndrome, right? When you hear that voice, turn it off. You know, who is it? Maybe it's a friend from middle school who's telling you you're not good enough, or, you know, a parent who is really critical about it. You know, in whatever you do in your career, turn off that voice, because it's not true. So what was the question, Lauren?
Yeah, so that you kind of came off of what the future holds for real estate lawyers in Massachusetts, but you sort of jumped into our next question, which is what piece of advice would you give to a lawyer who's just getting started? So Mark, you sort of answered that a little bit. I don't know if you want to follow up at all.
Yeah, I would love to. And if you're in law school still, you know, congratulations for, you know, taking the opportunity to learn, right? To get that master's degree. The first thing I would do is get a notary commission right now. Get your notary commission, because you can't do a closing without being a notary. And it takes time. It's red tape. It's bureaucracy. It takes time. So get your notary. I was never super successful with the B&I models in the world, but a lot of people are. A lot of people are extremely bullish on B&I. That's a Business Network International. They have specific seats for specific professions. There's always a seat for a real estate attorney, because there's always a real estate agent and there's always a lender. And that's a great way to start a team, because ultimately what you want to do is be a member of a team. You don't want to be at the bottom of a food chain. You don't want to be with your hands out saying, can I please have a deal? You want to be part of a team that collaborates together, strategizes together, works well together, makes each other look good, not to the detriment of your client, because don't forget, you still have an obligation to your client. I'm not saying that, but at the same token, working well together as a unit so that people feel as though they're getting the ultimate experience. right? So they go to the real estate agent typically first. The real estate agent will typically introduce the lender, who will then typically introduce you as the closing attorney, or both will introduce you at the same time, or the real estate agent will introduce both, or some form of fashion, but it's a trifecta, it's a triangle of trust where you all work together. But hopefully, hopefully you're working with abundant-minded people, because ultimately you're never going to succeed with one relationship. And the folks that are there to support you, hopefully they understand that, and they're not scarce-minded, and they're not protecting against what their competitor, which is a term that we never use in our office. We use counterparties in our office because it's a collaborative type of practice. One of the other pieces of advice that I would like to share, and I watch some people ignore this one, is hold on tight to your ethics. People will quickly let those fly when money is involved. Subprime mortgage is a prime, pun intended, example of that. People simply turned the other way while fraud was being committed right in front of their face. And it could happen again. History tends to repeat itself. There's a type of loan product out there right now that you may have heard about, non-QM, non-qualified mortgage. It's a subprime light. But where there's slopes, sometimes they slide in a direction and they slide quickly. So be prepared that if the market starts to go in that direction, you don't have to go with it. You can stand above it. You have your core values. You have your character. And ultimately, you have your ethics. So hold on to those.
Thank you. Jack, how about you? If you had one piece of advice, what would you say?
I did prepare and wrote down a note to myself, and it's something I try to live every single day, is to kind of be, and it's very similar to what Mark was saying, but to be the best friend of all the other lawyers, you know, and to, like Mark was saying, I love that term, counterparty, and the lawyers are here, particularly the closing and real estate closing bar. We're going to stay, we're going to be here for a long time. You know, clients come and go, and clients come and go, but the lawyers are always going to be here. So it's important to treat them with respect, treat them with dignity, be honest. And I can't believe I even have to say that, but I feel like I do, you know, and I think it's a very enjoyable, to Mark's point, it's an enjoyable bar. The thing I dislike the most about what I do is occasionally dealing with a really difficult lawyer, because I feel like everybody else involved is, for the most part, trying to accomplish the same goals for people. You know, sellers want to sell, buyers want to buy. They don't want us to stand in the way and be an obstacle and create problems. And I just think it's really important to be, to go out of your way really for other lawyers and try to help one another and build those friendships. Cause I think those will be incredibly valuable for your career.
And Jack, I think you'd agree that there's plenty of room in the club for new
Absolutely.
Attorneys as well, because as I mentioned from the outset, that insurmountable barrier, I mean, we can help guide you through that. You see a fellow in the chat, Sam Trimble. He's a great, great, valuable asset to reach out to. We can help you get in here, because there aren't a lot of newer attorneys. There is a gap. There is a huge delta, if you will, between when the spigot got shut off and the underwriters stopped giving agents, attorneys, the ability to be an agent for title insurance. And now, and if we can help get some new blood in here, I think it's only going to benefit the industry overall, because it's stale, it's borderline monopolistic, and we would love to have some new folks into the space with us.
So I know we're getting close to time.
But do we have any other questions at all, or from people?
Can I share my workshop?
I think so.
Okay,
go right ahead.
But folks, I'm gonna share screen. We're gonna continue deep diving on this. I'm sharing my screen right now. I just put my Calendly link into the chat box as well. What we've decided, this got me sparked. This got me ignited, this got me accelerated, whatever the COVID word of the day is. But we want to do a deeper dive. So if you want to come along on a deeper dive on April 7th, 2021, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., so you can't say that you're in work, right? We're going to be doing it through Zoom, and we're going to go a little bit deeper. Week one, we're going to expand on what we talked about here. Week two, we're going to get into the documents and title and so on and so on. And we're going to do it through case study, through story, through experience shares, if you will. I'm going to bring in some of the attorneys from my office to explain hypothetical Blackacre scenarios. So if you really want to dig in and get involved, you got to give me a calendar link.
I would really encourage people to do that, because I'm not going to do that. And I don't know anybody else that's going to do that. So I think Mark is being incredibly generous and to share this more time and all of his knowledge. And he's willing to do that for you. If you're watching this, you absolutely should watch this or sign up for it.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate that. And it is something that I'm very passionate about. And I do want to see people have the ability to have a career similar to mine. It's been that enjoyable. So the only requirement is that you connect with me on Calendly. If you're unable to take that first step, then maybe this isn't the right space for you, because you will need some sales acumen. You're going to need to pick up the phone and call people when you really don't want to. So reach out to my Calendly link. There's 15-minute strategy sessions. I've actually opened up a few more for Thursday, Friday, and next week than I normally would have. It's a great time blocking tool, by the way, if you're getting into this space and you want to really manage your time and live proactively versus reactively. I highly recommend setting yourself up with a Calendly link, but it's calendly.com/mstyles. We'll chat, we'll put you into the guest list, and then we will give you the link right before the April 7th class. And then if you want to keep going, then we're going to do it the following week. But then we have school vacation, so we'll be skipping that and then following up with the level 401 titles and challenging people would be the first week of May. So if you're interested, calendly.com/mstyles.
I'm going to sign up for that, Mark. Am I invited to that one?
You may be a guest speaker on the social. Oh my God. Social.
The titles and challenging people. I love that.
All right. Well, Jack, Lauren, Mark, this has been just really a tremendous program. I'm going to give our attendees one last chance. If you have any final questions, so please ask them in the chat or in the Q&A. If not, Mark and Jack, would you mind just throwing your email into the chat?
Sure thing.
If anyone has any follow-up questions that they don't end up getting to ask.
So I put my Calendly link in there.
Oh, Robbie. Your Calendly, that's already in there. So that's
the
perfect way to reach Mark. All right. Well, thank you all just so much for this. This has been a really great program. We really appreciate your insight and your thoughts. And we are absolutely going to have to commit you to come back to another REBA panel.
I'd be happy to do it. Thank you very much.
Same here. Lauren, thank you to REBA.
Lauren, thanks for moderating. Did a great job. Jack, looking forward to catching up again soon, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys. Everybody have a great day.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week, and share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@styles-law.com. That's mstiles@styles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.
This podcast is being provided for informational purposes only. Podcast is not a comprehensive overview of the subject and is not intended to provide legal or financial advice or an endorsement of any product or business. The views expressed by podcast guests are their own, and their appearance on the podcast does not imply any endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Please seek legal, financial, or tax advice before taking any action on the matters or products discussed herein.